I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, Washington State's farce of a domestic violent extremism task force is feeling the heat after being called out for repeatedly failing to address left-wing extremism. Plus, United States Senator Patty Murray is blaming President Donald Trump's tariffs for the increased cost of baby items while ignoring absolutely every other contributing factor. And let's be honest, Donald Trump is killing it on his visit to the Middle East. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month. Help us reach our goal of adding 300 new paid subscribers over the next 30 days. To help you do that, we're offering a promo of 30% off an entire year. Use the promo code 300 at patreon.com/undivided. That's patreon.com/undivided. Use the promo code 300. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. We've been talking about Washington State's domestic violent extremism task force, which is a total farce, for a while now. I'm going to get into some video from the latest meeting, but I think it's important to set the stage so you understand why it's such a farce and why the only possible way to fix it is to simply disband it altogether. So, of course, Washington State has been the home of rampant left-wing extremism for a very long time. It's gotten substantially worse and more frequent over the last 10 to 15 years, in particular over the last 5 years. You have left-wingers who will assault, vandalize, burn, whatever it is in the name of the cause of the day. So it could have been BLM, so anti-cop animus, anti-big business animus, the Occupy movement, and now Israel and anti-Semitism. So, of course, last week we had a pretty high-profile instance of left-wing extremism. Not that Democrats here will call it that. When you had a group of left-wing anti-Semites take over a building at the University of Washington. Thankfully, 30 or so of them were arrested. We'll wait and see whether there's any real consequences for those individuals, because to date, they haven't faced real consequences for much of anything. But I'll tell you, they're still emboldened to continue this behavior. Our friend Ari Hoffman pointed out that the building that they had occupied last week has been vandalized again. And they say that they're going to continue vandalizing it. It says the radical group that did this said, continued attacks by students and community members will keep this building closed and unable to fulfill its genocidal purpose. Ah, yes, because the engineering building at UW has a genocidal purpose because Boeing in part funded it. Got it. So it continues. And why wouldn't it? And that's what I would say. Why wouldn't they continue to engage in this kind of behavior? The last time they engaged in this kind of behavior last year, what happened? Well, the University of Washington rolled out the red carpet for them. They allowed these left-wing extremists to meet with important people at the university, and they negotiated with domestic terrorists. So, of course, if that's the reaction you've always gotten, and there's never been any real consequences for you for engaging in this kind of extremism, you're just going to continue to do it. So in a sense, I don't really blame them. I mean, I do, because they're radical nut jobs. But like, we always go back to, if you give a mouse a cookie. So you just keep giving these extremist cookies, ignoring their behavior, rewarding their behavior, so they keep it up. And all of this is condoned from the top on down. So as we mentioned last week, Bob Ferguson, took him 48 hours to even speak out about the left-wing extremism, the governor of Washington State, even though it's his alma mater, finally was asked about it and just pussyfooted around the issue because he doesn't want, this is his base. And more, it's becoming the platform of the Democratic Party to engage in this sort of political violence. So Bob Ferguson, when he was attorney general, launched a couple things. He launched a domestic violent extremism task force and a hate crime hotline. So he wanted to take it very seriously that, hey, we're going to deal with domestic violent extremism in the state of Washington and hate crimes and any sort of targeting of groups or individuals. So he made this his issue, right? It's like, we're not going to tolerate extremism in Washington State. And then he gives these really tepid responses when confronted with actual tangible acts of extremism. So on Friday of last week, after all this had happened at the University of Washington, Bob Ferguson's Domestic Violent Extremism Task Force had a meeting. And I thought, well, surely they're going to address what happened at UW. Because in their last few meetings, we've been very vocal and other individuals have been very vocal. And I know people have been emailing the task force left and right, basically saying, how are you conducting a task force on extremism in our state and completely ignoring left-wing extremism? They focused almost singularly on right-wing white supremacist violence, which in Washington state, there is none. Maybe years and years and years ago, there's been a couple of scuffles here and there with the Proud Boys, but it's not up for debate. It's just a fact. There's far more left-wing extremism here than there is right-wing extremism. Yet they were singularly focused on like right-wing neo-Nazis, white supremacists, hate crimes against people of color, et cetera, et cetera. So we and others have been pointing out you cannot be taken seriously as a domestic violent extremism task force in a state like Washington if you don't seriously talk about what's happening with the left wing. So are they going to do it at this meeting? Well, in light of what happened at the UW last week, this task force gets together and now they want to say, well, that's not really our job to look into individual instances of extremism.
We're not investigating any specific individuals or groups here or labeling anybody. That's not our intention as a group.
Interesting. We're not getting into individual instances or labeling anyone. That's not our intention as a group, despite the fact that at the same meeting, a member was talking about the reason the task force started to begin with.
As a result of the January 6, 2021 attempted coup in our state capital and the issuance of a national terrorism advisory system bulletin due to the heightened threat environment we were facing at the time, posed by the same people, right-wing groups that attempted the takeover.
Yeah, so now that they're being pressured to speak up about left-wing extremism, they're saying, that's not really our job. What is your job then? Because on all the meetings to date, you've been more than happy to call out individual groups as long as they're on the right, to label individual groups as long as they're on the right, to talk about and look into individual instances that have happened in the past, as long as it was perpetrated by the right. But now that people are emailing you relentlessly saying, hey, are you ever going to talk about the left-wing extremism in Washington state? They're like, well, that's not really our job. What is your job? And in fact, they're taking things a step further. So it sounds like a lot of people have been emailing them. Like the pressure is on for the Domestic Violent Extremism Task Force to actually fulfill its obligation or just disband. So keep doing that, by the way. So they, I think, are all flustered and hot and bothered by this. So now they're thinking about changing the mission statement on their charter to be more vague so they don't feel compelled to have to address individual timely instances of left-wing extremism.
There's been a suggestion to add language to make this group's work and intention clear and recognize the concerns that we've heard from the public about designations of extremists.
Yeah, and to make it more clear, to make it more vague, so we aren't actually on the hook for calling out people who we agree with ideologically. And just in case it wasn't clear how much they hate you and they hate anyone on the right, there was a member who basically said, no, I don't think that we should change the charter because then we'd just be giving in to these right-wing lunatics.
I think the people we're trying to make happy are the people who have been flooding my inbox, which I'm not sure is even a productive task. I don't think there's anything short of disbanding this committee that we could do that would satisfy that group of people. So I'm actually going to make the suggestion that we had a good charter. And if we have to take this much time to figure out what we do, I think we're just going to wind up unnecessarily limiting ourselves. And we're still not going to please the people we're trying to please. So I'm going to suggest maybe we don't amend the charter and just leave it as it was.
Yeah, there's nothing that they can do to please you. Oh, I don't know. How about just be fair? How about just be honest about where the extremism is in our state is coming from? we're not asking for a lot. We're not asking for anything unreasonable. We're pointing out the fact that today there is active, ongoing left-wing extremism in our state, that you, the extremism task force, continue to ignore in favor of focusing on national examples, some of them years in the past, of right-wing extremism. And we and others are emailing you to let you know that we have a problem with that, that we don't think that makes a lot of sense. And your response is to say, well, we just can't please these people. They ask too much. Or in the case of one of the task members, they would rather you just don't email them at all.
Please, I've got your message. You don't need to keep flooding my private and my business inboxes on this. We got it. We hear you. If you want to write a group letter and send it to the AG's office so that we get it, go ahead.
They just want you to shut up. They just want you to shut up. And they just want to continue to be able to focus on the reason Bob Ferguson created the group in the first place, right-wing or perceived right-wing extremism. And now that they're being pressured to focus on the left wing, they just are throwing their hands up and we don't even know what to do. Is this not the craziest thing ever? It gets crazier. So, of course, even after this very high-profile, nationally covered Trump administration investigating 31 arrest incident right in the backyard of the Domestic Violent Extremism Task Force, what do they spend more time talking about at this meeting on Friday? You guessed it. White supremacy and right-wing extremism.
And it might sound, I don't know, naive or Pollyannish to think we don't just need to arrest these folks, but consider what white supremacy has done over the last several decades. White supremacy is a movement in the United States. They made the strategic decision, generally speaking, to stop using violence to advance their cause and instead to use culture and politics. So if our adversary in this instance thinks that culture and politics are the way to achieve white supremacy in the United States, then maybe we need to think about culture and politics long in a lower P kind of, what are the norms governing our society, as the long-term solution to this issue, as opposed to more tactical counterterrorism sort of responses. The neo-Nazi rally in Charlottesville, the Unite the Right rally, is a really classic example of this idea of using culture to shape politics down the road. And there's been a lot of really good scholarship about it. And I think we need to use culture to shape nonviolence and inclusivity going forward.
Good God. They just can't help themselves. And again, I've never said that we can't talk about right-wing extremism. I've never said that we can't talk about white supremacy. I've just made the point ad nauseum that if you're the Washington State Domestic Violent Extremism Task Force, that should be about 1% of all the conversations you have at these meetings. And when other people point that out, you tell them to stop emailing you. And you want to change your charter to make it more vague so you don't have to talk about the things that are happening in your own backyard. And the taxpayers are footing the bill for this. How outrageous. That guy. So he's talking about white supremacy, white supremacy, white supremacy, despite everything happening here. So there's a Jewish member of the task force who brings up what's happening on college campuses and wants him to talk about that specifically. This guy is so obsessed with talking about white supremacy, even when asked about a specific example of left-wing anti-Semitism happening in our own backyard, he, honest to God, and you'll have to watch it to believe it, he immediately turns it around to talk about white people attacking black and brown people.
Watch. I'm thinking about how the public is seeing what's happening on college campuses and seeing it more as like, well, it's free speech, versus a lot of the Jewish people will see kind of like take it in. It's like, okay, someone is protecting us. And I'm speaking as a biased Jewish person, by the way, mom and Israeli. So I guess I'm trying to figure out, even when I do those programs, when I go to college campuses, I try to educate people and I try to bridge divide between even staff members, because I think that's where it starts with administration and staff, creating a dialogue where people are more educated and aware to the nuances and how what we're seeing right now is not just harming Jewish people, but it's really, there is a risk for radicalization. I wonder if you have any suggestions how not to preach to choir, but actually bridging divide and getting the word out there and showing people the risk that you're seeing and you're mentioning of the results of any type of binary type of thinking, us versus them, and how do we go there? What do we do?
Thank you. It's a great question. And you know, Cynthia might be able to also comment on this, given the extensive work that Peril has done over the years before my arrival here on the intersection of anti-Semitism and other forms of hate and violence, because you're absolutely correct. Ideologies or sort of narratives like the Great Replacement Theory, which are anti-Semitic theories, which result in the most lethal attack on the Black community in the United States in Buffalo, New York, which result in the most lethal attack on Latino Americans in a Walmart in El Paso, Texas, is an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory generating violence against Black and Latinos, as well as the most lethal attack on the Jewish population at the Tree of Life synagogue in Pittsburgh. So anti-Semitism is closely mapped. I'm sorry. Extremism is intersectional, and anti-Semitism is a conduit to other forms of hate and violence. And so educating communities about those intersections, I think, is quite important.
Oh, my God. A Jewish person asks him about the left-wing anti-Semitism on college campuses. He immediately turns it around and says, stuff like that is to blame for the right wing attacking Black people and Hispanic people. Oh, Mike, can you play the end, too, of his answer again, Nicole? Just the end.
Extremism is intersectional, and anti-Semitism is a conduit to other forms of hate and violence. And so educating communities about those intersections, I think, is quite important.
You understand what he's saying there? Basically, okay, well, yeah, maybe we should inform communities and educate them on what's happening with anti-Semitism and tell them that that can lead to attacks on Black and brown communities, which we really care about. So, yeah, I guess we could talk about anti-Semitism, but as long as we talk about it in the context of it also leading to hate, where minority groups we do care about, because Lord knows we don't care about Jewish people, where minority groups we do care about, like Black and brown people, are going to get attacked. That is wild. That is insane. And it really shouldn't come as a surprise, I guess, considering the task force, as we've talked about in the past, is full of left-wing ideologues. So they don't want to face the reality of what's happening. And also considering the task force was convened by Governor Bob Ferguson, who just last week, when he was asked about what happened at the University of Washington, said he didn't even know what the definition of domestic terrorism was.
Whether something meets the definition of domestic terrorism, just being honest, I don't know exactly what that definition is.
Was the attorney general for 12 years convened a domestic violent extremism task force where they talk about counterterrorism efforts. They talk about it in the context of it being terrorism. And when asked about an instance of domestic terrorism just last week in the largest city in the state he's the governor of, on the campus of his alma mater, he says, well, I don't really know what the definition of domestic terrorism is. These people are clowns. Absolute clowns. How do we get this message to more Washington voters so they can see what's happening here? It's insane. So all of this is happening. They're going to, I don't know, I hope they disband. I don't think they're going to, but they're really mad that you're sending them emails. So I would suggest continuing to send them emails and let them know that you're not going to let them off the hook for failing to address extremism on one side of the aisle. So I thought it was also worth noting today, as we talk about extremism and the left's version of extremism, whatever it is. Bob Ferguson also yesterday just signed a law. It is House Bill 1052 that he signed into law that will make it easier in the state of Washington to prosecute people for hate crimes. Here is the video from Bob Ferguson's bill signing.
House Bill 1052 makes it more clear for juries that bias does not need to be the only motive for a hate crime. The lack of clarity is a real problem that prosecutors say has been a barrier during trials. Clarifying the definition ensures accountability for those who commit hate crimes. All Washingtonians, needless to say, deserve to be safe and feel safe in our communities.
Yeah. So the law says a person is guilty of a hate crime offense if the person maliciously and intentionally commits one of the following acts in whole or in part because of their perception of another person's race, color, religion, ancestry, national origin, gender, sexual orientation, gender expression or identity, or mental, physical or sensory disability. So now you can be convicted of a hate crime if it is deemed that you committed an assault or caused, you know, property damage in whole or in part because of someone's identity. And you notice they include like gender identity in there. So what is that going to entail? And you don't believe, based on everything that I just outlined about their blinders on this issue, that that hate crime statute will be singularly used to target people on the right? Of course it will be. That's what it's designed for. You think Democrats would push it through with any other motivation in mind? So let's say now, and look, you shouldn't be committing crimes to begin with. You shouldn't be assaulting people. You shouldn't be vandalizing things. But I mean, gosh, what if you're, you know, vandalize something and you call the person he and they're really a she, and so now you're also guilty of a felony hate crime? I mean, I don't trust these people at all. And it's this whole industry now they've created of the government focusing on people's motivations, right? Specifically on the right. So Bob Ferguson created the hate crime hotline where you can just call in and say, I'm the victim of a hate crime. And they go, check. And they mark it. So they mark it. So now we're pumping up the hate crime numbers. Oh, now hate becomes an industry in Washington. Because the hate crime hotline, the operators don't ask you questions and refer it for a police investigation. No, they connect you to services to help you out in this desperate time when you've been misgendered by someone who came into your coffee shop. And then Washington State gets to say, oh, hate crime, with no proof whatsoever. It was actually a hate crime and not some little microaggression. And so what they do is they take those numbers to justify, as they did this budget cycle, spending more money to address hate crimes. And now they've passed a law that makes it easier to prosecute people for hate crimes. And there's extra money going into that to help with the prosecutions of people for hate crimes. And at the same time, they give more money. They use those hate crimes numbers to justify more money, as they did, to the Domestic Violent Extremism Task Force, which, as we pointed out, is singularly focused on non-existent right-wing extremism and on giving a pass to active left-wing extremists. So what's the point of it all? Genuinely, I'm not even sure I know the answer. What is the point of it all? From the hotline to the hate crimes to the task force. Is it to silence conservative speech? Is it to vilify conservatives? Is it to turn the populace against conservatives? Is it to help perpetuate this victim mentality? Is it just to help give money to these groups that are involved in it? I don't know what the purpose is. If you have an idea of what you think the end goal is, please let me know. Because for the love of God, I can't think of one. Absolutely, utterly insane and terrifying. And terrifying. I'm sure that you know how many calls have probably been made about me to the hate crime hotline? I should do a public records request. How many times someone has called the hate crime hotline and said that I am a transphobe? I'm sure it's in the thousands. And then do I end up on some government list somewhere? What happened? Am I going to go to jail for a hate crime? I hope you guys bail me out because I feel like we're just heading in that direction. All right, coming up next, Microsoft is making job cuts. Gee, I wonder why. But you know what? McDonald's hiring. So maybe some of these Microsoft employees can go work at McDonald's. We'll discuss. First, I've encouraged you guys to take the First Mark Challenge. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. We all need insurance. Why would you deal with it on your own when First Mark will help you deal with it for free and make sure you got the best possible coverage at the best possible price? Our friend Brock Heward, the well-known sports host, also took the First Mark Challenge, and you just can't say enough good things about it.
The word that comes to my mind is a word I use a lot on my sports show, and that is connective tissue. It's important in team building. It's important as players in a locker room to be connected to others. And when it comes to insurance, it's so complicated. It's so stressful. You just don't even want to deal with it. And that is where the connective tissue of having a pro, having a broker, having a partner, and most of all, having a teammate like First Mark Insurance, it was the best connective tissue we could find.
Leave it to Brock to make a sports analogy. Very nice, Brock. Very well done. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. Set aside some time to take the First Mark Challenge. It only takes like half hour to an hour, and you could end up like so many undivided viewers and listeners saving thousands of dollars a year. It really is a no-brainer, and you could be our next First Mark Challenge victory. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you. I got a good question quick in the live chat I just want to address before we move on to this jobs thing. Greg asked in the YouTube live chat, what about the dude at WSU that got jumped for a MAGA hat? Hate crime? No, because remember the things I just listed that constitute a hate crime, a motivation, not political party, not any sort of ideology. It's race, color, religion, ancestry, national origin, gender, sexual orientation, gender expression or identity, mental, physical or sensory disability. Remember, Republicans attempted to add political political support as a motive to it, and they were shot down. State Senator Monica Dinger was like, oh, basically, if you can change, you'd have to change other underlying laws if you want to add politics to it, but we're not going to do that here. Probably because they know that the individuals who are victimizing other people based on politics are the left wing. They know it's their supporters who are more likely and who would be more likely to be prosecuted under the hate crime law if we added politics as a motivating factor. I mean, look at all the Tesla stuff. Assault of the guy in the MAGA hat, who was, by the way, brown. White guy assaulting a brown guy. Interesting. Yeah, they can't have that because, again, makes it more likely it's their people who are going to end up in prison for it, if a prosecutor even decides to charge it.
We also had somebody ask where they can watch those meetings, and I think they're quarterly.
Yep.
I think the next one's September, but TVW.
TVW has them, yeah. And they also were commenting on, because people were upset that they're not taking questions. They won't hear from the public during the meetings because they said it could be too disruptive or there could be personal attacks. And so now they say they're trying to come up with a better system and that it's better for you to write your questions anyway, because then you're not limited by time. Then you can write whatever you want and it's given to them and they all review it. Yeah, my ass, that guy who said, don't email me anymore. You really think that guy's taken time to read the hundreds of comments that are sent in from the public?
For this one, though, you have until the 19th to submit them, and they do go into their record or whatever.
They ain't reading that shit.
But I mean, if you want it to be entered,
they're not.
You have until
the
19th.
They're not reading that. All right. Microsoft says it's cutting jobs. I don't think this is a surprise. I think we're going to continue to see businesses in Washington state cut jobs. Now, I'm not saying this is over the increased B&O tax or the increased animus toward businesses in our state. I don't think it's particularly helpful either. Microsoft says they're trying to reduce the size of management, which frankly, every business can. Any business I've ever worked at has like 10 too many managers. So, I mean, that's just reality. But from the Center Square, Microsoft cut thousands of workers despite strong sales and profits. It says, we continue to implement organizational changes necessary to best position the company for success in a dynamic marketplace. Even in the best of times, we have regularly adjusted our workforce to meet the strategic demands of business. To enhance our efficiency, we will minimize redundancy by streamlining our processes, procedures, and roles. That from a Microsoft spokesperson, a lot of like gobbledygook speech there. But I think, you know, it's always interesting that, and you'll see the media like, oh, how can you cut jobs? Your profits are through the roof and it'll be, oh, big tech bad. But if it was like Microsoft came out and said, oh, we're cutting jobs because we're worried about Trump tariffs, you know that the media would cover it totally different. Like, Trump to blame for Microsoft cutting jobs. But it's like they're never going to look at the business environment in Washington State and blame new taxes and all of these things. It's just ridiculous. You know who is hiring, though? McDonald's. Hiring 375,000 additional workers. We all know why that is. Come on.
Because Trump's giving them so much biz.
It's the Trump effect. No, everybody's like, if the president of the United States can don a McDonald's apron, mm-hmm. so can I.
There you go.
I love it.
Yeah.
I really think that's it, don't you? I'm sure the media will spin this as Americans are poor and they need to buy more McDonald's because of Donald Trump. So now McDonald's needs more workers. I don't know. You checked on the cost of a McDonald's hamburger lately in Washington State, where they have it on the marquee by where I live, the exit by where I live. It's like $24 an hour or something because of our minimum wage and like the pressure on it. You don't think that's translating to a really expensive burger? The cost of a McDonald's burger these days,
it's like
what we used to pay at a regular sit down joint. So anyway, just thought I'd give Donald Trump credit for McDonald's expanding its workforce.
I do think in that, you know, operating like a business, so we don't need these managers, let's get rid of them, and then that makes more sense for our business. Like, our state could take a lesson from that, right?
100%.
So let's run like a business, and if we don't need these roles, we could cut them, and then it makes more sense for your business, which is the state, right?
Yeah, and I don't know what's with the over-management. When I worked in a newsroom, I had some good managers, but some of the most incompetent people were the management.
But there's, like, manager, and then that person's manager, and then another, that person. Manager, it's just out of control.
Charles asked, how many of these 375,000 new hires will be trained to fix the ice cream machines? Seriously, because the only thing I ever want to go through the drive-thru for is ice cream. And so he's like,
McFlurry.
Oh, machine broken. All right. Speaking of jobs, so U.S. Senator Patty Murray once again touring the state of Washington trying to dunk on Donald Trump, and the local press is more than happy to act as her propagandist. Let's talk about it in our segment, Unbelievable. So we already talked about Patty Murray did this stupid little tour around their state with her dumb little social media microphone talking about how Trump tariffs are hurting all these businesses on the same day that Democrats in Olympia passed $9.5 billion in new taxes, much of them through a B&O tax, an increased business and occupation tax. Totally ignore that. Trump bad with my little microphone, just looking absolutely ridiculous. So now she's doing the same thing, but she's blaming Donald Trump for what will be the increased cost, she says, of baby items. So strollers, car seats, cribs, etc. This is the Como News article. Raising children, Trump tariffs push the cost of baby items up thousands of dollars. American families already know the cost of having children is high and continues to rise with inflation, but there's a new element making it even more expensive, tariffs. Economists now estimate that the Trump administration tariffs will cost families an additional $4,000 to $5,000 a year, the largest tax increase in decades. Washington Senator Patty Murray, vice chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee, said President Trump's chaotic trade war is raising costs on moms and families across the state and the country. This whole article reads as a press release for Senator Patty Murray. The whole thing. No mention of the increased cost because of taxes in Washington State. The same thing applies here. And I'm not saying that Trump's tariffs aren't going to increase costs. Of course they are. A tariff is a tax. So you can talk about the reasons you support it, but to act like it won't increase costs is ridiculous. But to focus solely on that, you know what some of the estimates have been? Per family for the $9.5 billion tax increase being pushed on Washingtonians over the next 4 years? $4,000 a year. $4,000 a year. You're going to pay more at the gas pump. You're going to pay more at the grocery store. And every single thing you buy in retail in the state of Washington is going to be more expensive because businesses have an increase in their B&O tax. And what are they going to do? They're not going to eat it. You don't run a successful business by doing that. You're going to pass it along to the consumers. So all of that is fine. But the Trump tariffs, not fine. Como News, propagandists for the Democratic Party, not pushing back a little bit, not questioning why Patty Murray hasn't spoken out about the tax increases and the business taxes and all of that and the crush on Washington families. Just happy to follow her around the state with her little microphone and let her push these things. Let's see. And she's... So Patty Murray's got her. She's calling it Trump's baby tax. So that's how she's identifying it. I don't know. Smart, I guess. Straight off the plane from D.C., I headed to Westside Baby Seattle to talk to moms about how Trump's tariffs are raising costs on everyday items families need, from strollers to car seats. I'm rallying with parents to pressure Republicans to join me in stopping Trump's baby tax. This Mother's Day, I'm thinking about all the moms who are working hard to make ends meet while Trump's tariffs drive up prices on everyday essentials, from groceries to car seats. Like she cared about it as everyday essentials went through the roof under the Biden administration. I mean, you guys already know about the hypocrisy here. Again, I'm okay with talking about all of it. I'm okay. Like, let's talk about all of it. Let's talk about all the costs on families, the impact on tariff, the impact of increased taxes, the impact and costs related to Washington State's climate grift, which is, and look, if you have $10 extra going out the door, whether it's extra for, because of a baby stroller, or it's extra because of your energy bill, because of a climate grift, or it's extra at the gas pump or at the grocery store, it's still extra. And to a family, it doesn't necessarily matter what politician caused it. They just want to know when it's going to stop and who's going to make it better. And I would also remind you, I mean, I could go all the way back with this. Back in the gubernatorial race, Dave Reichert versus Bob Ferguson. What were some of Dave Reichert's key policy proposals? Eliminating sales tax on anything related to raising a child and a baby. Anything related, so strollers, cribs, whatever it is, onesies, diaper wipes, no sales tax on it. And that was a key part of his campaign. Voters still elected Bob Ferguson. And then just this past legislative session, what did Washington State Republicans try to do? Well, State Representative Travis Couture, I'll play the video back, he introduced an amendment that would have given parents a sales tax holiday on back to school items.
This sales tax holiday would be a great message. And in exchange, what we do is we cut this junk drawer of things that aren't helping families and teachers in our state. We heard a little bit ago that tough decisions had to be made to develop this budget. There wasn't any tough decisions actually made, because there is still a junk drawer of other things, including laser hair removal for transgender inmates in our prison.
Yeah, so Democrats decided they'd rather fund laser hair removal and fake boobie implants for transgender inmates than to give parents a short sales tax holiday on back-to-school items. That was the priority they made. And now U.S. Senator Patty Murray is blaming Donald Trump for how expensive it is to raise a child in a family in Washington state. So you can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. And I wish some reporter would do their job at these press conferences and point that fact out to Patty Murray. You've been traveling all across the state, raising holy hell about these tariffs and the impact on businesses and the impact on families. What about the budget that was just passed in Olympia? But of course, they're more than happy to just play stenographer for Patty Murray and push her narrative out to the masses. All right, before we get to national news, I just had to follow up on this one. Oh, pretty boy neck tat guy was arrested. Thank God. Damian Madison. So he was the guy who was at large after shooting at Thurston County Sheriff's deputies as he was trying to flee from them for the third time in 6 months. So, I mean, I would assume that he's going to face attempted murder charges, because if you're shooting a rifle at sheriff's deputies, clearly the intent is to kill them. So he had fled from justice. He was arrested somewhere like on the Nevada border, I think. And look at his, if you're watching the show. So he dyed his hair, and then he floofed his bangs down to try to cover up that forehead tattoo.
The scribble.
And then look how far up his hoodie is tied, trying to cover up his neck tattoo. And he was arrested with his mommy. His mommy was helping him flee from justice.
Yeah, now she's in trouble, too.
She's in trouble, too. Of course she is.
And it was near the Nevada line in California.
Yeah, so he fled. They got him. Great work. I know the FBI was involved in that as well. Great work for the Thurston County Sheriff's Office. Pretty boy Damien, I think you're going to be quite popular in prison. So enjoy. Am I wrong?
Not wrong.
Am I wrong? I'm right. All right, we'll get to national news. Trump's visit to the Middle East, diplomacy at its finest. God, I'm glad I voted for that man. Don't say anything, Nicole. Don't say anything. I give Nicole so much joy when I compliment Donald Trump. First, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. If you're thinking about selling your home, Wes is going to tell you everything you need to know about how to get your home prepared for the market and also how to make sure you get top dollar. And that's what everybody wants, right? Hey, how can I sell my home and have it be as stress-free as possible and then get as much money for it as possible? Those are some no-brainers. Wes can help you with that. He's been doing this for a long time in our area. He's been through the market ups and downs, and he knows what it takes to make your listing stand out. I mean, you compare, go to sellwithwes.com and take a look at some of the home listings that they've put together. The photos, the video, everything is done so beautifully, the staging, and you compare it to other, you know, listings on whatever website you go to look at real estate, it's not even close. Wes's stuff is so beautifully done. The marketing is fantastic. And that's really what helps get eyeballs on the listing, feet in the door, and offers on the table. So if you're thinking about selling your home, make your first call. Be to Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. Sellwithwes.com. It really is just a better way to sell your home. All right. So Donald Trump's in the Middle East. And I have to say, I am not a Middle East expert. I'm not, okay? I tried not to be a pretend expert doing the show. But you really get to understand his strategy as a businessman and how he makes other people feel good about a deal. So I'm going to give you a few examples, but I also want to just on a local note. So Qatar signed this massive deal with Boeing to order a bunch of new aircrafts, 150 aircrafts, multi-billion dollar deal. And so that got done while Trump was in Qatar. And I mean, I think that's good for Boeing. You saw the Boeing CEO just ear to ear smiles. And Trump, he's like, probably like, thank you, Donald Trump. We really needed this win right now. Of course, as Boeing has had a lot of challenges lately, and they are very behind on Air Force One, which is why Qatar is offering him Qatar Force One. So I thought that was a good kind of local angle thing happening there. So good for Boeing, but they really need to get their you-know-what together in order to make good on that. But moving on from that. So there was a couple things that happened that I think just show that even when Trump is going into places that haven't always had the best relations with the United States, the amount of, he has a way of showing them respect, first and foremost, but showing them that he understands them and he wants them to have control over their own destiny. And I think providing that sort of, let me play a couple clips to show you what I mean. So can you, Nicole, play the, this first one. So he's talking about this idea of nation building and how far too many times the West comes in and it wants to rebuild nations in its image and how offensive that is. Here's the clip.
The transformations have been unbelievably remarkable. Before our eyes, a new generation of leaders is transcending the ancient conflicts of tired divisions of the past and forging a future where the Middle East is defined by commerce, not chaos, where it exports technology, not terrorism, and where people of different nations, religions, and creeds are building cities together, not bombing each other out of existence. We don't want that. And it's crucial for the wider world to note this great transformation has not come from Western interventionists or flying people in beautiful planes giving you lectures on how to live and how to govern your own affairs. No, the gleaming marvels of Riyadh and Abu Dhabi were not created by the so-called nation builders, neocons, or liberal nonprofits like those who spent trillions and trillions of dollars failing to develop Kabul, Baghdad, so many other cities. Instead, the birth of a modern Middle East has been brought by the people of the region themselves, the people that are right here, the people that have lived here all their lives, developing your own sovereign countries, pursuing your own unique visions, and charting your own destinies in your own way. It's really incredible what you've done. In the end, the so-called nation builders wrecked far more nations than they built, and the interventionists were intervening in complex societies that they did not even understand themselves. They told you how to do it, but they had no idea how to do it themselves. peace, prosperity, and progress ultimately came not from a radical rejection of your heritage, but rather from embracing your national traditions and embracing that same heritage that you love so dearly.
You see how genius that is? Do you see how he treats them like an equal? He doesn't get in there and talk down to them. He treats them like an equal because that's how you get a deal done. And it's this fascinating, that's the one of the first clips where I've really understood, you know, I know he talks like blah, blah, blah all the time and goes off script and stuff, but that's one of the first clips I've really seen where you see the strategy play out. And I just think he did such a bang up job over there. And there was this moment, he got a standing ovation when he announced he's going to lift sanctions on Syria.
I will be ordering the cessation of sanctions against Syria in order to give them a chance at greatness.
Yeah, standing ovation. And I think the key there is give them a chance at greatness. And so it doesn't mean that the United States isn't concerned about Syria anymore and there's no problems whatsoever and everything's fine, but he's treating them like an equal partner to have an equal chance at greatness, like the United States or like other countries in the Middle East that he was complimenting during this speech. And the White House press secretary, she put out a long list of things like, yes, we're lifting sanctions on Syria, but it doesn't mean you don't have, but you know, here are the expectations, and it doesn't mean that we can't put them back in place. I won't read her full explanation of everything that they talked about, but it says, President Trump, at the invitation of Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, met with Syrian President Ahmed al-Shara, and they basically said that Trump told them he wants them to sign on to the Abraham Accords with Israel, tell all foreign terrorists to leave Syria, deport Palestinian terrorists, help the United States prevent the resurgence of ISIS. So there are expectations, right? But saying to give them a chance at greatness, it's almost like a parent extending that, like, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do this on your own. And like that trust and faith in you. I know it sounds silly, but it's like, that's the business mindset at work. And it's far more and a far better strategy than anything we've seen Barack Obama do or Joe Biden do. And so I was just really proud of the president. I was like, he's doing such a great job, and he's old as hell. And he's out there just running place to place. And I'm like, man, I would have fallen asleep at every single one of those meetings. He's got a lot of energy.
Why can't everybody be like you?
I was just happy. I was proud. And they gave him, I don't remember if it was when he was flying into Qatar or somewhere else, where they gave him the fighter jet arrival, where they escorted him in, which like hadn't happened since Ronald Reagan, but it's a sign of respect. You know, you show us respect, we're showing you respect. We might not always agree or get along in all these ways, but Trump's saying, we don't want to remake you in our image. You don't have to be an American society to be a good society. And I think that's the message that he's trying to get across to them. And they clearly respected it.
Did you see the camels?
Camels
that
were
so cool.
Yes, and Trump talked about the camels too. Yeah. I mean, the security guards on the camels, right? Amazing.
I mean, some were security. There was hundreds of people lined up on camels.
Yeah, and there was also the red cyber trucks. Where was that? I don't remember which. Oh yeah, the red cyber trucks escorting him, which I thought was really cool too. But yeah, what a great trip. I'm not even gonna turn on MSNBC to see what kind of negative crap they had to say.
See, I kind of want to see what gets covered. I'm sure it'll get out there anyway without us doing it. Somebody will make a montage of how little they all talk about it.
Yeah, I don't even care. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear anything about it.
Live in this world of everyone live is in this happy moment. With Trump.
Okay, let's get to our daily subscriber show poll on Patreon, Locals, and X. Speaking of Donald Trump and the cost of baby items, I asked subscribers, should President Donald Trump adjust his tariffs to exclude baby items such as strollers and car seats? Which this question has been posed to the president, and he said, you know, I'll look at it, but there's a lot of individual things that you could make an argument to exclude. So Nicole, should President Donald Trump exclude baby items?
I mean, I would like that just for, you know, people that need them. Yeah, I mean, I would like it. I guess that would be a cool gesture if you can do it. I don't know how feasible it is as far as, does that get too complicated? Does it get too, because then, you know, people that, you know, the toy store wants that on Barbies. The toy store or right. like something else wants that on. I mean, how feasible? But I guess as a necessity, it would be nice. But
yeah.
I mean, is the fanciest stroller a necessity? No, you could probably make do with a not as fancy.
Or a used one.
Or a used one. Used,
maybe. I don't know if you can sell used car seats because there's some concerns, right? They have to be like reinspected right. or something. But
everything else, I mean, I say buy it from Facebook Marketplace anyway because right. You only use that stuff for like a month and then they're too big for it.
Yeah, get it from a friend. Sharon said, my thought is, where would we draw the line on this? Pottery Barn Kids sells cribs and strollers for $1,000 plus that most people would consider luxury items, but that are also classified as baby items. Big Swan, no, he shouldn't. It'll cost more to manage these exceptions than it's worth. And besides, the list of personal exceptions our citizens will submit will be endless. Top of my list, Russian caviar. Yes, can you please make sure the Russian caviar is not subjected to those tariffs? Hugh, yes, baby items, little kid items, teenager items, adult items, get rid of tariffs altogether. I see what you did there. Sunny days, nope, you do that, then we need to create a department to track the specific tariff needs of various groups of people, leading us back to special treatment of one group of people over others. I can understand that as well. Rick, I think there should be some exceptions, but they should be rare. Most of the stuff we import could be made right here, which is what we should be doing. Harold, Brandy, do you have news for us? Winky face, no, I'm not pregnant, okay? Not pregnant. Brandon Ferris, honestly, I have to say absolutely not, because those products could be manufactured here in America. Yeah, and I mean, maybe that's, it is part of the, you know, kind of made in America push on tariffs and all that stuff. Yeah, so most of you are saying no, 68% saying no, he should not make a carve out specifically for baby items, because where would it stop? Where would it stop? And what about us non-parents? What kind of deal are you going to give us? Can you cut imports on items for dogs? I know my toys for my dogs are made in China for sure, because they're too cheap to be made in America.
I do think hopefully all of this will sort itself out by Christmas and everybody can just shut their traps. I'm sick of it.
Wow. Nicole wants you to shut your trap. She's sick of it.
The whiners about tariffs. Like, there's a strategy and it seems to be working. I mean, we're in a little bit of a deal right now. And
he's working on it.
Working.
Full faith. Full faith. All right, speaking of tariffs, if you're concerned about how tariffs might be impacting your retirement portfolio, our friend Zach Abraham at Bulwark Capital is having another one of his live webinars. This one is the Tariff Edition. So he's going to talk specifically about this issue, how the markets are reacting to recent tariffs, how they could impact your retirement portfolio. He'll do a longer-term outlook for 2025 and a full reveal of how Bulwark is always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. So the webinar is happening Thursday, May 22nd. So that's next Thursday. But you can sign up right now by going to knowyourriskradio.com, knowyourriskradio.com. It's just a good opportunity to listen to what Zach has to say. You know, think about, okay, am I properly positioned? Are the tariffs having too much of an effect on my retirement portfolio? Do I need to change things up? Get a second opinion, ask any questions that you might have, or you can just passively listen if you prefer to do that as well. So knowyourriskradio.com, knowyourriskradio.com. Okay, some comments here. Let's see. Matt, Undivided with Brandy Cruz. I like the new branded microphone. Thank you. Our friend Jeremy, who's a subscriber to the show, made these and brought them in and personally put them on. I haven't tacked them down yet because I was experimenting with them. But isn't that nice? Actually, I can just take it off. Made it on a 3D printer. With our colors and everything.
What they can do with those right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just wild.
I know. Thanks, Jeremy. So nice. Thanks for noticing, Matt. All right. Papa Woody. Nicole Super Hell Yeah. What is that about?
There's what I just said.
Oh, there is less white supremacy than the absolute opposite. In fact, more anti-Semitic on taxpayers-funded college campuses. Ridiculous virtue signaling. Yeah. Matt Stachelek, Doge can't defend left, can't defund the left coast soon enough. Yeah, I agree. Let's see. Greg, why doesn't Boeing just leave the college? I don't know, because Boeing, I mean, so you think about it, they gave money to this engineering building to help train the future engineers for Boeing, essentially.
It's a write-off.
Right? Well, yeah, but it's also... Boeing is constantly in need of new engineers, and so it serves them in the long run, mm-hmm. right? And so I don't think they should leave. I think they should be expecting that the college does something about this, right? Mm-hmm. Let's see, Krista. So then everything at UW would be a hate crime, but clearly that doesn't count because that's just a peaceful protest. Yeah, it's interesting they're expanding the ability to prosecute these hate crimes mm-hmm. while they ignore hate crimes happening before our very eyes, but because they're perpetrated by people on the left. Mm-hmm. So the only people who are going to be subjected to this new hate crime law are people on the right. And it's going to turn into, oh, if you misgendered someone, now you've committed a hate crime under the new law. All right. Let's see. Pat, Brandy, can you share the link to tune into these domestic terrorism meetings? Thanks. I don't have a link that's just like good until the end of time because it'd be a new link every time, I think. Right. But like they have a website. TVW. And it's on TVW as well.
You can
well.
Search for it on yeah. TVW.
Let me see here, Krista. Anti-Semitism doesn't matter because it's just a conduit. Got it, Sparky. Yeah, that guy was out of his mind. Crazy. Cage. It's called an echo chamber when you can't engage with differing ideas. Calling them trolls and sorry extremism is grown in safe spaces like that. Yeah. I mean, basically, they're met with reasonable resistance to what they're doing. And their response is to say, stop emailing us. We can't please you anyway. It's like, no, you could try. You could say, you know what? You have a good point. It's a well-received point that maybe we're focusing too much on extremism on one side of the political aisle, and we need to make sure we balance this out a little bit. And you have a good point on us not accepting public comment. Maybe we should do that since, I don't know, we work for the public. But no, they can't admit that they're doing anything wrong.
And we're never encouraging people to just attack people just to attack them. It's yeah. to encourage them to do the right thing.
Yeah. Old Sub Sailor, $20 Super Chat. Brandy and Nicole, you're making a huge difference. The trolls are numerous these days. You could probably trace them back to the state AG's or governor's office staff. Keep the pressure up. Do we have trolls today? Is there trolls today?
I think there was maybe one. They're not,
I'm okay. Really,
there's just a, you know, comment or two.
Listen.
Like, not supporting Trump, things like that.
But. Trolls increase clicks. Trolls count as clicks too, you know? Do. So they want to help pay for my dog's fresh food, then by all means. Leland.
Like really quick, Lizzie says, this just came in. My niece's stroller was $600. Maybe try not buying gold-plated strollers.
Yeah.
They are crazy expensive.
They are, and I do feel like that's interesting, too. I mean, a lot of these baby items are out of control expensive. Let's see. Leland, that's actually what propaganda looks like. It's targeted to specific voters. Are you talking about the Como News article? Mm-hmm. Or yeah. Matthew, $5 Super Chat, but it was all right. Everything was all right. The struggle was finished. He had won the victory over himself. He loved Big Brother, 1984. A little quote for your day. Stacy, I'm not selling with Wes. I'm throwing it on the market. I ain't fixing shit. There are plenty of crazy people that want to live in Washington. Stacy, that's not true because you will not get top dollar for your home. And even if you just want to throw it on the market and don't fix anything, you can still call Wes
yeah,
Jones
exactly.
at sellwithwes.com. All right, Robin, pretty boy needs to be sentenced outside of Washington State. Yeah, I agree. I don't know what kind of, we'll see if what his bail is set at this time around.
He's
being brought back here. All right, Rick, $5 Super Chat, jump-starting the undivided bail fund. Who are we kidding? They're not giving me bail. No bail hold. Because she's disseminating her hate to the masses. And we must protect people's ears from it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, but I want you guys protesting outside the jail, okay? I want you something quippy. Yeah.
Okay.
Come up with something.
Come, well,
good
me
signs,
or all of our people
signs,
will come up with something.
Chance, whatever it takes. All right. Thank you, Nicole. I have
and
a very...
Put a magnet on the back of them so that you can put them anywhere. They do have a magnet.
Yeah, it's a magnet. It's and a then magnet. It kind of clicks on and... Whoop, on and off.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah, I need to kind of tack it down because I'm very handsy. I'm very Bernie Sanders.
Very worried about flying.
Yes. I'm very Bernie Sanders, so I need to make sure it's on there. But again, thank you, Jeremy. This is very nice of you. All right. I have a very self-serving sanity check to get to today. Boop. All right. The very best sanity check you can have, as you know, is a subscription to Undivided. We are trying to add 300. We have a goal of adding 300 new paid subscribers to Undivided over the next 30 days. So to help us accomplish that, we're offering a promo. And no, this isn't good for existing subscriptions. Unfortunately, Patreon doesn't allow us to do that before you ask. But if you have been a freeloader, if you've been liking the content we put out, but you haven't subscribed yet, now is a great opportunity. For the next 30 days, we're offering 30% off a year subscription to Undivided. Just go to patreon.com/undivided. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N Patreon.com/undivided. Use the promo code 300. Reminds me of the movie. And he kicks them. Bah! Kicks the guy right in the chest. Use the promo code 300. And you'll get a year off your subscription to Undivided. Help us spread sanity to the masses.
There is a movie called 300, you know.
No, that's what I've said. Oh, I said it reminds me of the movie 300. Okay. And then he reels back and he just kicks that guy in the chest as hard as he can.
Okay.
Yeah? So just picture me kicking, I don't know.
Like Gerald Butler.
Kicking the left-wing extremists in the chest as hard as I can, figuratively, of course. So that's my sanity check. Is that too self-serving for a sanity check today?
It's allowed.
Just this one time. Okay. Patreon.com/undivided. Use the promo code 300, 30% off. Help us reach our goal, 300 new paid subscribers over the next month. That's it. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Okay. It was kind of a weak sanity check. I'll give you a real one tomorrow. Just trying to fit in my commercial for subscriptions. Tough out here these days, you know? Gotta sell subscriptions. UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com to keep up on the very latest. A big thank you already to our paid subscribers who help make the show possible. What else? Already Thursday tomorrow, final live show of the week. Wow. We have a fantastic interview coming up on Sunday, by the way. So if there were ever a week to subscribe, this is it. Here's a little tease on our pending interview on the show tomorrow. Okay, bye.